Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. As promised, Microsoft has rolled out the Daily Pass to track 500,000 students in the Los Angeles Unified School District. This is what we read today. Los Angeles Unified has launched a one-stop shop web app built specifically for the district to ensure that we get students, faculty, and administrators back to schools and district offices as safely as possible. In addition to completing a daily health check through the app, users will be able to book COVID-19 tests and receive test results and messages. This innovative tool was developed in partnership, wait for it, with Microsoft to bring our students back into the classroom with the following easy steps. And it gets better. The Daily Pass gatekeepers posted at the entrance to every school are known as welcomers. How stinking creepy is that? Y'all should listen to Habakkuk. He's trying to tell you something. Habakkuk 1:5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are diving into the belly of that beast known as Bill Gates and Microsoft yet again. This time to check the progress on one of Gates' many promises in regard to the processing and tracking of human beings. It's called the Daily Pass, and it's a smartphone app that's connected to a tracking database designed to give access to COVID acceptors and to deny access to COVID deniers. What? You missed this story on the nightly news? That was intentional, my friends. That was by design to keep you ignorant and in the dark. Today, we lift the rock and watch the slimy creatures, the same slimy creatures that will be red worms for all eternity, the red worms spoken of in Isaiah 66:24. And we're going to view these slimy little red worms in light of Bible prophecy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you're gathered here now and for the people, the thousands of people, Lord, who will continue to listen to this program in the archives. And we come before you today, Lord. We're a needy people and we need you, Lord. We need Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And we're looking, we're watching, we're waiting. Your word, Lord, says that we are not to give you any rest until you establish, until you make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. And we are here before you today, Lord, asking you to meet with us. And Father God, we pray for my friend Clayton Perry, who was diagnosed just last week with a very, very aggressive form of cancer. And he's going through chemotherapy right now. And as a church family, we lift up Clayton Perry and his wife Kathy and their family to you, Lord. We ask you to work and move in a mighty way. We ask you to give him a healing if possible, and if not, Lord, if it's your will to take him home, give him full assurance of his salvation, and take him home, Lord, with grace and with comfort. But we pray for Clayton Perry that you would work a work in his life and let what he's going through right now be a testimony to the people who are watching him go through it. Let you be lifted up, Father God, and we pray that you would give our brother Clayton Perry a healing, Lord. We also pray for our sister Lori Ann, who needs to hear from you today, Lord. And she needs some comfort and some reassurance. And we all need this from time to time, God. And we lift up our sister Lori Ann to you and ask you to give her a special blessing today. And Lord, I pray for myself today. I'm going to have to be a little selfish here. Lord, I need you to lead me and guide me as all these events that we're working on with the opening of the bookstore and the camp meeting and all these things going on and all this article creation and everything that we do here at Now the End Begins. Please continue to give me the vision, Lord, that you've given me from the beginning. Please continue to strengthen my physical body, strengthen my spiritual body. Keep me strong and keep me in the fight, Lord. And I can only do this because you allow me to do it, God. I can only do it because you give it to me. This is your ministry, God. And I pray a prayer for myself today, Lord. Please lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad you're here today. We have so much that's going on. Our cup is literally filled to overflowing. If you remember, we told you about all these things that were happening and all these things that were getting ready to come to pass. If you are a regular reader of Now the End Begins, you are one of the most prophetically informed people on the face of the earth. And people who come here and listen to these podcasts and people who read our articles and attend our Bible studies, many times you will hear some great, unbelievable story that's happening, and you'll hear it here first through Now the End Begins, because God just gives us favor that way. And a lot of the times he allows us to have insights and articles and information well in advance to other people having the same thing. And we praise the Lord for that. And that's one of the reasons why I was asking for prayer for myself today, that God would continue to lead and guide and to show us the way. We told you back on March 2nd, 2021, Microsoft and Bill Gates working with the Los Angeles Public Schools to create a COVID QR code daily pass for children that scans to allow them access. And we told you this system requires children to be scanned into school with their own unique QR code. It's their daily pass. If a student doesn't have their barcode, they cannot get into school. And per the district, students will also be wearing masks, staying 6 feet apart from one another, and getting a temperature check outside the door. Now, there are nearly 500,000 students in the Los Angeles Unified School District, ranging from kindergarten to 12th grade. To earn their Safer School Daily Pass, students and staffers must answer questions online and test negative for the novel coronavirus every week. Daily Pass generates a unique QR code for each student and staff member, and that code authorizes entry to a specific LAUSD location for that day only. As long as the individual receives a negative test result for COVID, shows no symptoms, and has a temperature under 100 degrees. So we told you about this back on March 2nd of this year. Well, here we are, April 19th, and Microsoft has kept their promise. Bill Gates has kept his promise, and they have rolled out the Daily Pass in the Los Angeles United School District. Take a listen to this cute, bouncy little cartoon that tells you what a good thing the Daily Pass is. Take a listen.
Welcome to the Daily Pass, the one-stop shop digital tool to gain entry to a Los Angeles Unified School campus or district office. This tool, which was developed for Los Angeles Unified in partnership with Microsoft, allows individuals to answer daily health check questions, receive a Daily Pass QR code, schedule a COVID-19 test, as well as receive test results and reminders. The Daily Pass is available to all Los Angeles Unified employees, parents, and visitors. Students who are 13 years and older, parents will need to complete the Daily Pass health check for their child who is under the age of 13 via their computer, tablet, or any mobile device. To obtain your Daily Pass, which follows guidelines set forth by the LA County Health Department, simply go to dailypass.lausd.net and click on Parents. Parents will need to log in using their parent portal account. Parents can register for an account by clicking the first link provided on the main login page. Once logged in, click on Get Daily Pass. Select the person or people for whom you are creating a pass. Choose the campus or office you will be entering from the drop-down menu. Take the daily health check, which includes a commitment to healthy behaviors, as well as the county-required wellness and exposure check. Once cleared, a QR code will be generated for that date and site. Upon arrival at the school site, a school staff member, known as a welcomer, will scan the QR code at entry and take your temperature. Thank you for using the Daily Pass as we take every step to ensure we keep our school and workplace as safe as possible.
And there you have it. There's that bouncy, happy, upbeat cartoon voice telling you about the Daily Pass. staff members known as a welcomer are going to meet you at the door. And they're either going to let you in or they're going to keep you out. Isn't that exciting? And it's no coincidence that this was brought to you by Bill Gates and Microsoft. Bill Gates, he said that he stepped away, but actually he is still retaining his membership in Microsoft to work on big projects. And this was one of the big projects that he stayed on to work on. Now, if you remember, we told you back in 2019, that's right, we told you back in 2019, long before things really got crazy, we told you about a company that Microsoft and Bill Gates created called the ID 2020 Alliance. And we brought you that news on October 24th of 2019, almost 6 months before the COVID outbreak here in America. And like I said, if you are a regular reader of Now the End Begins, you are one of the most well-informed people when it comes to end times Bible prophecy on the face of the earth, because that is exactly what Now the End Begins is. It is a repository of information that shows you advancements in Bible prophecy and shows you how this world that we're living in is absolutely bowing itself in submission to the prophetic word found inside your King James Bible. And back on October 24th of 2019, we told you about this company called the ID 2020 Alliance. And it says this: the ID 2020 Alliance, as it's being called, is a digital identity program that aims to leverage immunization as a means of inserting tiny microchips into people's bodies. Now, I want you to really let that thought sink into your head. We told you back in 2019 that microchips were going to be connected with a worldwide vaccine. We told you that October 24th of 2019. Last Sunday, not yesterday, but last Sunday, what did we read about on 60 Minutes? The Pentagon announced something called the COVID microchip. And this is such a big story that we did last week's podcast on this exact topic. And we told you on 60 Minutes that DARPA, the secretive advanced research arm of the United States Pentagon, they are working on putting a microchip into the vaccines. Now, if you remember, we told you that was coming in October of 2019, and all the main news outlets and Snopes and USA Today and all these different places said that that was baseless conspiracy theory. Oh, really?
It might surprise you to learn that many of the innovations deployed to counter the coronavirus were once obscure Pentagon-funded projects to defend soldiers from contagious diseases and biological weapons. The life-saving vaccine developed in record time owes a debt to these programs. To learn more, we met the man who has been leading the rapid vaccine effort, retired Colonel Matt Hepburn. an Army infectious disease physician, he spent years with the secretive Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, working on technology he hopes will ensure COVID-19 is the last pandemic.
If we want to say we can never let this happen again, we're going to have to go even faster next time.
8 years ago, Dr. Hepburn was recruited by DARPA.
The DARPA director was very clear. Your mission is to take pandemics off the table.
Sounds impossible.
Of course. And that was the beauty of the DARPA model. We challenge the research community to come up with solutions that may sound like science fiction. And we're very willing to take chances with high-risk investments that may not work. But if they do, we can completely transform the landscape.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
More than 60 years ago, DARPA was born, after President Eisenhower was caught off guard when Russia launched the first satellite, Sputnik, into orbit.
I ask you, sir, what are we going to do about it?
The small Defense Department agency was given a single purpose: prevent surprises like that from ever happening again. So Dr. Hepburn finds academics, companies, inventors working in garages, and pushes them to deliver.
What we don't do, we don't say, okay, here's our problem, here's your blank check, come back to us in 3 to 5 years, we'll see how you do.
You're on them.
Active program management is what we call it. Okay.
Dr. Hepburn showed us a few current projects. Some sound like they're from an episode of Star Trek. Consider a ship like the USS Theodore Roosevelt, hobbled last year when 1,271 crew members tested positive for the coronavirus. What if everyone on board had their health monitored with this subdermal implant, now in late-stage testing? It's not some dread.
So there you go. DARPA, the secretive advanced research projects arm of the United States Pentagon, subdermal implants, otherwise known as a microchip. And what is the purpose of that microchip? It is to be given with a vaccine to monitor COVID and other infectious diseases. Now, this is why if you get your news from the mainstream media, you are always going to wind up at a wrong conclusion every single time, because the mainstream media is there for one purpose. They are there and they are designed to deceive you. That is the purpose of in our day, in 2021, the purpose of the mainstream media is to deceive you. During an interview on the latest episode of Newsmax TV's The Gorka Reality Check, Breitbart News Editor-in-Chief Alex Marlow reacted to NBC News anchor Lester Holt's calling fairness overrated, connecting it to the original research in his book. Marlow pointed out that the media has always been on one side to fit their agenda. He added now that the media are finally owning up to the fact that they are going to disenfranchise half the country. If you look at the mainstream media today, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, CNN, MSNBC, Yahoo News, wherever you look, Twitter, Facebook, all these groups are owned by hardcore radical leftists. And they, on a daily basis, they skew the news and they drive an agenda talking point. I can't imagine anybody who could get their news from CNN and MSNBC and believe what they hear and call themselves a Christian. I really don't think that that would be possible. If you can't figure out that CNN and MSNBC and NPR and MSN, all they do is lie on a 24-hour-per-day basis, feeding you garbage and nonsense and half-truths. And if that's where you get your news, if that's where you're going to get your information, should I or should I not take the COVID vaccine? Well, as you're prayerfully deciding whether or not you're going to take the vaccine, don't make anything that you hear on CNN or MSNBC or ABC or CBS, don't get any information from there if you're going to be trying to make up your mind whether or not you should take the COVID vaccine. I'm not taking the COVID vaccine. I wouldn't take that for any reason. I wouldn't take that if they made me take it. I would not take it. Why? Because I've done my research and I know what's in that vaccine, and every single day I'm reading stories about hundreds of thousands of people with adverse reactions and thousands of people who are dying and people winding up permanently deaf and blind and blood clots and all these different things. And with each passing day, it gets worse and worse and worse, and they keep covering it up and covering it up. And all of these things are being done to drive home an agenda. Microsoft finally released their daily pass for the Los Angeles School District. Now, remember what we told you last year? This clip from Spiro, who is no longer on YouTube. Spiro has been driven off of mainstream media. The Corbett Report has been driven off of mainstream media. But take a listen to what Spiro said just a couple of months ago about the United Nations announcing a biometric digital ID wallet.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Spiro. Thanks for tuning in. There's a lot going on and a lot to cover, but in this report, I'd like to specifically focus on one of the major changes coming our way as we transition into the Great Reset and the new digitalized system of control, and that is digital IDs, a topic we have covered here on the show previously. I'll leave links for some in-depth reports on that regarding the UN's work with the Gates Foundation and ID 2020, among many others, to establish a digital identity and birth registration for everyone on the planet under Sustainable Development Goal 16.9, which is part of the UN's 2030 agenda. But for now, I want to focus on this news that just came out here within the past couple days. The International Civil Aviation Organization, which is a specialized agency under the United Nations, has announced they are one step closer to bringing digital identity-based travel to a reality, as they have endorsed specifications for the first digital travel credentials. Now, additionally, the United Nations just announced that they are rolling out its own biometric digital identity wallet. As you can see here on Biometric Update, the UN Digital Solutions Center is a pilot project for the World Food Program, which is a United Nations program, and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and the United Nations International Computing Center, which I have reported on previously, that was very instrumental in the development and implementation and rollout of 5G almost a decade ago. This particular UN biometric digital wallet is intended for UN employees, and it can be used for data related to human resources, medical status, i.e. vaccine status, travel, there's your health passport, payroll, and pensions. It's going to be hooked up to your financials. Now, this can also be used for onboarding new employees or helping transition those who are leaving or retiring away from the organization. Now, here is a quick promo video.
Now, before I play the promo video, I want you to remember the clip that I played for you a couple of minutes ago from the Los Angeles Unified School District. It was this happy, upbeat, peppy voice giving you in cartoon form this unbelievable end times Mark of the Beast information. They did it with the Los Angeles Daily Pass. Now, I want to remind you, because I played this clip for you months ago, but I want you to hear how similar that this clip is to the one where the Los Angeles School District announced the Microsoft Daily Pass. And it's interesting that in both examples, they are both cartoons. Why do you think that they're doing that? Who do you think that they're appealing to with these happy, upbeat, optimistic voices in cartoons? Take a listen.
Digital transformation is changing the way we manage our data, our information, our interactions, and our identities online. The United Nations is ready to digitally transform how it deals with identity, with a system to streamline information sharing, daily workflows, access to platforms and buildings, operating across agencies by providing its personnel with a universal system-wide identity solution. Introducing the UN Digital ID, a unique and digital identity for UN personnel from the day you join to the day you part. All of your personal, HR, medical, travel, security, payroll, and pension data in the palm of your hand, giving you full control on what you share and with whom. With blockchain and biometrics, the UN Digital ID makes verification efficient, secure, transparent, immutable, portable, and universal. It's been piloted by different agencies and the UN Pension Fund, where they've replaced current manual processes with certainty for who and where pension recipients say they are at any given time. Imagine a regional field officer has just joined the UN. She uses the mobile app to obtain a digital wallet, stored securely in her smartphone and only accessible to her with biometrics. Even better than a physical wallet, she can store all her credentials issued by any UN organization in her digital wallet. She has immediate access to course certificates, travel clearances from UNDSS, medical records from allergies to vaccinations, also making any transfer to another organization a breeze. As innovation transforms the world, we can improve the way we manage our identities online. UN Digital IDs, a building block for digital cooperation, unlocking the promise of the SDGs.
I hope you see where this is going. Every aspect of our lives will be centrally digitalized using biometrics, AI, 5G, and in many cases, blockchain. And when you hear the so-called stakeholders, such as the United Nations or the central banks or governments or the World Economic Forum, who just blocked me on Twitter the other day, reference the private sector, they are talking about tech companies, fintech companies like Ripple or foundations like IOTA, who are currently working on digital IDs, distributed ledger technology, cryptocurrencies, smart cities, and the Internet of Things, just to name a few. This is the new digital system of control the social engineers are referring to when they talk about the Great Reset, along with the social controls via United Nations Agenda 21 and the merger of man and machine via the World Economic Forum's Fourth Industrial Revolution, which Musk's brain chip, Neuralink, fits into nicely, doesn't it? Now, all of these pieces of the puzzle are hiding out there in plain sight.
So we'll just stop Spiro right there. This is what we told you was coming about 6 months ago. That's how old that clip is. And he was talking about the advances that people like Elon Musk were making with their brain chip. Well, we told you just last week that Elon Musk, his brain chip has gotten so advanced. And we brought you this incredible article on April 9th, just about a week ago. Neuralink chip implant allows a monkey to play a video game using only its brain as Elon Musk prepares to chip human brains next. And we told you last week that this brain chip implant from Neuralink is so advanced, they put it into the brain of a monkey and he starts playing the video game Pong. And halfway through the game, this monkey figures out he didn't need to control the controller with his hand. The monkey was able to figure out that the chip inside his head allowed his thoughts to control the video game. And the second half of the video game that you see the monkey playing it, he's only using his thoughts to control the action on the screen. Now, that is something that a monkey was able to figure out. How advanced do you think this technology actually is? It's hyper advanced. And these things are not coming one day, someday. These things are coming, well, they're here. They are here right now. And this is what they are using COVID, which is a real virus. I've always said that it was a real virus, and you should take the best precautions that you can possibly take to make sure that you don't get this virus. But here in St. Johns County in Florida, we have less than an 0.951% fatality rate from the COVID virus. Less than 0.951% fatality rate from the COVID virus. But what they want to do is they want to use this as a means of ushering in an unbelievable level of control over your life. Take a listen to this clip entitled, "Will We Be Wearing a Mask Forever?"
Stay. That's the conclusion of infectious disease specialists who say a changing virus might be hard to stop in its tracks. Does that mean masks forever? Medical reporter Liz Bonus shares why that may or may not be a good thing. Hey, everybody. Hello to you. The idea of masks forever comes from the other idea that this virus keeps changing. And with new strains, vaccinations may not protect against them.
To date, we have no data that the vaccine will not be effective on these viral strains.
Researchers speculate that if the virus changes and current vaccines don't continue to be effective at stopping the spread, you might think you're protected when you're not. Dr. Anthony Fauci told Sinclair's Jan Jeffcoat,
I might then inadvertently, you know, go someplace and say, hey, I've been vaccinated, I'm fine, and yet I might be shedding enough virus to infect someone else.
What that means, possibly, is that
coronavirus may be here to stay, and that may be accurate.
That could lead, perhaps, to booster shots each year for the vaccine, or perhaps, as some say, mask wearing forever. What's the harm?
And that's, you know, that's debatable. I mean, there's obviously a civil liberty aspect to that. There's unknowns about, well, masks could get dirty.
In addition to that, however, pediatrician Joe Bailey says there are several developmental concerns in newborn babies who don't see a full face.
Yes, definitely. We see newborns who normally, you smile at a newborn, a two-month-old, and they'll smile back at you. If you don't have a mask on, yeah, the baby can pick up on a lot more.
Now, your pediatrician, of course, the best person to talk to if you do have concerns about child development. I'm medical reporter Liz Bonus. We'll throw it back to you.
From local.
And there you are. Will we be wearing masks forever? I think you know the answer to that one. To me, that's a rhetorical question. That's an absolutely a rhetorical question. Do you remember last year? I think it was March 18th. 15 days to flatten the curve. Remember that? Remember 15 days to flatten the curve? Well, it's now been 13 months of 15 days to flatten the curve. And what are they talking about 13 months later? They're talking about masks forever. They're talking about third wave, fourth wave, fifth wave of booster shots. Take a listen. Pfizer CEO says a third vaccine is likely. Take a listen.
All right, let's turn our attention back now to the COVID-19 pandemic and the rollout of the vaccine. Of course, earlier this week, we saw Johnson & Johnson's vaccine recommended that it would be paused in the rollout. Yahoo Finance's Sanjay Kamani joins us now with the latest, Anjali, on this continuing and developing story. And as we wrap up this week, I guess trying to get a sense of where we stand with booster shots, additional trials, where Johnson & Johnson fits in here, and an evolving picture, I think, in the fight against the pandemic.
Absolutely. Kind of like the evolving pandemic itself. So right now, what we know is that we've heard from both the CEOs of the mRNA vaccine companies, Pfizer's CEO, Albert Bourla, saying just yesterday that there is going to be a need for a booster shot. We also had Moderna CEO, Stéphane Mancel, earlier this week say the same thing to us and also explain why that would be. Listen to what he had to say.
Have a mixed bag, I would say, between people that are young and healthy and maybe 100% efficacy, and people that are older with one or several comorbidity factors. And then to your point is the variant. We do worry about the variants.
All of it put together between sort of waning efficacy, waning protection in certain individuals, as well as the threat of variants. We know that we're already seeing the beginnings of another wave right now in the country. All this put together is giving all the companies a reason to push for a booster shot. And they're currently working on trials to make sure that that's going to happen. Meanwhile, in the background, of course, more pressure on these mRNA companies to produce as Johnson & Johnson is on pause. That pause was elongated after a advisory panel to the CDC did not vote for any recommendations on what to do, waiting instead to collect more data on these reports of blood clots, very rare instances, but similar to what we saw in Europe, and could result in sort of an age or gender restriction on who gets to get those vaccines. We know that this is really important, not just locally, but also globally, as Johnson & Johnson remains the only single-shot vaccine that can be stored at relatively normal temperatures, and is really important for, you know, rural communities, remote areas of the world, as well as just generally for easier use of vaccines. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. We know that the mRNA companies are definitely getting a lot of phone calls, their efficacy numbers as well, playing a role in why there's so much interest. So a lot going on. We know that vaccinations are continuing here in this country, and the Biden administration believes that even with the J&J pause, they will still meet that 200 million doses in 100 days. Back to you guys.
Yeah, Anjali, and you know, it's interesting. We're kind of at this inflection point where we're starting to wrap up all the vaccine-motivated vaccine seekers getting their appointments and actually getting their vaccines and into this phase that we all knew was coming. We're trying to reach, you know, harder to reach folks, people who are skeptical, and just with an easier process. And certainly this hiccup in Johnson & Johnson complicating that somewhat. All right, Yahoo Finance is Anjali Kamlani with the latest on the COVID-19 pandemic.
It says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 40, 2 Kings 4:40, "So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, 'O thou man of God, there is death in the pot,' and they could not eat thereof." Johnson & Johnson paused because people are dying of blood clots, and they like to distract you with the low number of people that are actually dying of the blood clots compared to the people that don't die from the Johnson & Johnson shot. And that is absolutely, unbelievably, very misleading way to put that. Do you remember Dr. Birx, what she said last year? She said that she was going to take whatever people died of. If you had a heart attack, but you had COVID and you died, it was, you didn't die from a heart attack, you died from COVID. If you had cancer and you had COVID and that cancer killed you, they're not going to count your death as a cancer death. They're going to count your death as a COVID death. That's a shell game. That's a scam. Take a listen to Dr. Birx last year saying that the coronavirus death count is, in fact, liberal. Take a listen.
Misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus called you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem. Some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it. And the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
So there you have Dr. Birx. She said this just about a year ago. She said that they are counting anybody who has any other condition, including COVID. And should they die of that other condition, Dr. Birx says the CDC is counting that as a COVID death. Now, that is a scam. That is a complete distortion and misrepresentation of what the actual truth is. If you're dying of cancer and you get COVID at the same time, and then your cancer kills you, COVID had nothing to do with that. If you have a heart attack and you have COVID and you die of the heart attack, COVID, maybe it sped up the time that it would take you to die, but you didn't die from the COVID. And this idea that it doesn't matter what people die from, if you have COVID, in addition to what killed you, then instead of recording it accurately and honestly as what you died from, they're saying that this is now a COVID death. So, this is what they do. They tell you that, oh, we've only had 6 or 7 people who had blood clots out of 2 or 3 million people who got the vaccine, so it's completely safe. But if you were to ask them, well, wait a second, in St. John's County where I live, we had 22,000 people get COVID, but less than 1% of those people died from COVID. Why are we so scared of COVID? They don't mark it down that way. That's not how they're going to look at the situation. So what you have to understand is that with all this stuff, with the COVID reporting and the COVID statistics and the numbers, they are constantly, constantly skewing those numbers to make you think that everything is okay when everything is not okay. And to me, it is not acceptable the number of people who are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are going blind and going deaf and having anaphylactic shock and being taken to the emergency rooms and being put on ventilators and having all these life-saving measures being given to them, not from COVID, but from the COVID vaccine. And when you really investigate and see how damaging these vaccines really are, well, if you understand what the truth is, if you understand how many people are really becoming very ill from taking these vaccines, and you choose to take it anyway, well, that's your choice. But again, as far as I'm concerned, I would not ever take the vaccine. A couple of months ago, Bill Gates was on Chinese television. That's right, Chinese television. And he was responding to the question about the vaccine conspiracy theories. Take a listen to Bill Gates whitewashing the truth on Chinese national television.
我注意到，在美国也会有一些网友甚至攻击您，说病毒是从您疫苗的这个研制过程中出来的。您在用什么样的心态面对这种声音？
I'd say it's an ironic if you take somebody who's doing their best to get the world ready, and you know, putting in my case billions of dollars into these tools for infectious diseases, and really trying to solve broadly infectious diseases, including those that can cause pandemics. But that, you know, we're in a crazy situation, so there's going to be crazy rumors. I hope, whether it's individuals or countries, that in some ways this shows us how interdependent we are. That to stop a global pandemic, we need to find whatever the best vaccine construct are, the best drugs, and we need to make it without just focusing on one country. We need to make it for the entire world, including for countries that don't have the resources to pay for vaccine research or vaccine factories. You know, they're actually, in many ways, should be the priority for what we do. So, you know, there's lots of attacks out there. In general, people have been very positive.
So there you have Bill Gates whining and crying about the fact that people are calling him out on his plan to rule the world. Another thing that Bill Gates has been up to, some of you may or may not have heard about this, but Bill Gates has another plan, and his plan to stop climate change is he's going to block out the sun with a chalk bomb. Bill Gates wants to block out the sun with a chalk bomb. And he wants to put these chalk particles up into the atmosphere. Now, that sounds like conspiracy theory, and that is absolutely true. This is one of the things that, from the crazy demonic mind of Bill Gates, he wants to have a chalk bomb to spray millions of tons of chalk into the stratosphere to reflect sunlight and to slow global warming. Now, how much of an idiot do you have to be
in order to believe that that would be effective. Millions of tons of chalk up into the atmosphere to block out the sun. And that's how he wants to contribute to the stop of climate change. And it says here, experts have warned that the unusual technique could be disastrous for weather systems in ways that nobody can predict. Backed by a range of private donors, including Gates, the test mission is launching from Sweden, and they could offer a launch by the end of this summer coming up. And the test balloon will lift 600 kilos of scientific equipment 12 miles above the surface of the Arctic town, and if all goes well, 2 kilograms of dust will be released into the air. This will then create a dust plume several kilometers in length, not large enough to have any effect on the intensity of the sun's rays hitting the earth. So that's what they're planning on doing for the first test. They want to put chalk bombs up in the stratosphere, and they're going to detonate those bombs to see if they can slow down climate change. Interesting thing, Bill Gates appeared on Chinese television to talk about conspiracy theory. And have you ever asked yourself why all these politicians and these rich celebrities and athletes in the NBA and football and baseball, have you ever wondered why all these far-left, hardcore, radical liberals who hate everything about America and who want to make all these drastic changes to our country, they never have anything to say about China? Bill Gates wants to explode chalk bombs in the stratosphere to try and slow down climate change. And at the same time, he has nothing to say to the communist nation of China that is the world's worst polluter. There is no other polluter on the face of the earth, that, except maybe India, that contributes more to the filth of this planet than the communist nation of China. But Bill Gates never has anything to say. The National Basketball Association and LeBron James, they don't have anything to say. There's not one single Democratic politician in America or anywhere in the world that is willing to stand up and call out communist China. They have no problems with the fact that China is currently running Muslim concentration camps. Nobody has anything to say about that. The very same Democrats that called for a boycott on the state of Georgia here in America because Georgia passed a law that says that if you want to vote in Georgia, you have to prove who you are. Now, how crazy is that, right? So the Democrats, including Joe Biden, are boycotting the state of Georgia, depriving them of millions of dollars in revenue. They lost the All-Star game because Major League Baseball listened to the Democrats and they moved the All-Star game from Atlanta, Georgia to Denver, Colorado. And that is going to cost the state of Georgia $100 million in revenue in 2021. And yet, nobody has any problem with the fact that the communist nation of China actively uses Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps to make the sneakers, to make the jerseys. Disney, who is also calling for a boycott of Georgia, Disney filmed their live-action movie Mulan within walking distance in China of Chinese concentration camps. Why don't any of these Democrats have anything to say about China and the unbelievable nastiness that that rotten country is doing every single day of the week? And yet, they want to impose unbelievably harsh regulations on me and on you here in America and around the world. But nobody seems to have a problem with Chinese concentration camps. I want you to listen to this. Target is selling a book right now. It's a devotional written by a woman who says that she's a Christian. Target sells devotional book, Dear God, Please Help Me to Hate White People. Take a listen to this.
Target has a devotional. You'd like to think that Snopes would say, no, this isn't true. Target sells best-selling devotional that includes a prayer asking God to, quote, help me to hate white people. It's a book being sold at Target and Walmart in the devotion and meditation section. It's number one on Amazon's Christian meditation and devotionals. It's called A Rhythm of Prayer. It's available at a retailer near you. Written by a woman whose last name is Walker-Barnes. Quote, the book reads, Dear God, please help me to hate white people. Or at least want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. Wow. Staggering vitriol. Printed. Made it through editors. The publisher said, yeah. The buyers at Target and Walmart said, thumbs up to that. And it is being distributed, and it is number one on the Amazon Christian meditation and devotional section. I want to stop caring about their misguided, racist souls, to stop believing they can be better, and that they can stop being racist, she writes. This is clearly not biblical, even though the woman says she's a theologian. This is not how we are to treat people who harm us. We are to turn the other cheek. We are to forgive. We are to love our enemies. We are not to despise them. We are not to be apathetic toward them. We are to care for them. And so this devotional, amongst other things, falls short in regards to correct understanding of how we're supposed to treat people who are not inside of the church, which leads us to inside of the church. If what we see going on in the world is motivated by critical theory or critical social justice, we are seeing it imported into the church in very similar ways. So everything you see out there, it's coming in here. Now, let's just, for a moment, imagine that this sentiment expressed in writing in a book on Amazon, Walmart, and Target makes its way into the church, your church, because you decide to open up the door to critical theory because, well, maybe it is a helpful analytical tool. Maybe it does help us to understand the Bible a little better. Maybe it has something. Let's just be nice about it so that people don't get upset. It's, after all, a very tender and sensitive issue. Get ready for this attitude to happen in your church. Do I need to repeat what she says? Dear God, help me to hate white people? That's her goal in life. And if that's her out there, I can almost assure you that will be you in there. Because this is what is being promoted, and it doesn't stop at the door of the church. Every nasty aspect of critical theory, and frankly, I struggle to think of a positive one, is making its way into the church. Pastor, if you think that by being somewhat laid back about the subject, you're going to foster all kinds of love and sensitivity, no, you're not, because that's not what this is about. This is about hatred and division. Don't think that it's not going on already in evangelical Christianity and that it can't happen in your church. The author of this book adds that white people she wants to hate are, quote, Fox News-loving, Trump-supporting voters who don't see color but who take thinly veiled racist comments about those people. The people who are happy to have me over for dinner, but alert the neighborhood watch anytime an unrecognized person of color passes their house. Wild stereotypes, nevertheless. Category switches. The people who welcome black people in their churches and small groups but brand us as heretics if we suggest that Christianity is concerned with the poor and the oppressed. No, nobody says that we're not concerned about the poor and the oppressed. What we're concerned about is critical race theory because it fosters animosity and hatred toward people who simply have a different level of melanin. That's what this does. That's why we don't like it. That's why we want to keep it out. Quote, the author wrote, this kind of thing, this by the way was a commentary from the pastor who discovered it. This kind of thinking is a direct result of CRT, and it is completely anti-biblical. He's completely right. And you are now seeing that critical theory, which felt like an abstract ideology out there, kind of what those people do and talk about and debate on university campuses, it's coming into the church. It's going to come into your church. At least it's going to start knocking on the door. And not only will you introduce a whole lot of hatred because critical theory demands a new hermeneutic of the Bible, you're not going to recognize your Bible after long from the devotional. Quote, let me be like Jonah, unwilling for my enemies to change. Jonah was punished because he didn't want that. It's not a good thing. You don't want to be like Jonah in that regard. You want to be the obedient Jonah, not the runaway from God Jonah. But this woman, this theologian, she's praying that we'll be like Jonah, unwilling for my enemies to change. Huh? How did she get? Because interpretation, it's all done through the lens of critical race theory. It is a hermeneutical system. Or let me be like Lot.
So there you have Todd from a YouTube channel called Wretched Radio. And he's talking about a devotional book that is number one on the Amazon bestseller list, a Christian devotional book. And it includes a prayer. The name of the book is called A Rhythm of Prayer. It's a collection of meditations for renewal. And one of the main prayers in that book starts out, "Dear God, help me to hate white people." Now, can you start to see why racism is never going to go away? And are you starting to see why all of these dynamics that we read about every single day in the news and everything that they're talking about, they have painted people into a corner, and it is now impossible to not be a racist because they are demanding. It's called critical race theory, and they are demanding that you become a racist so that you can be isolated and ostracized and you can be put on the outside fabric of society, because that's what they demand that you need to be. There's not a single Democrat that's looking to end racism. They are using racism as a tool, and that tool is to take control. Now, last week, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, a woman by the name of Patrice Cullors, and Patrice Cullors is a self-described trained Marxist. And she has a lot of vitriol for white people. She is absolutely, she deals in racial identity and racial politics every single day of her life. And, part of Black Lives Matter, their founding documents is to install black nationalism. That's what Black Lives Matter is looking to do. So it's really interesting that the news came out last week that this vehemently anti-white person named Patrice Cullors, who is one of the founding members of Black Lives Matter, she recently, with all of her income, and all these large corporations giving Black Lives Matter tens of millions of dollars, and I guess it's hush money. I don't know what it would be, white guilt money. I have no idea why, if you were a major corporation, why you would want to give millions of dollars to a overtly racist group like Black Lives Matter. But be that as it may, Patrice Cullors, even though she claims to be a Marxist, she's not a Marxist when it comes to money. She's a capitalist when it comes to money. And she's made so much money last year. You remember last year, 2020, the 6 months of the race riots that were fostered and conducted by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. One of the founders of Black Lives Matter made so much money from the riots and the extortion and the white guilt payoffs that she was able to buy four houses. The largest of those four houses was a $1.4 million mansion. And where do you think that she purchased this $1.4 million mansion? Now, before I tell you where she purchased this mansion, let me give you the disclaimer, is that I believe in America, anybody can live wherever they want to live if they can afford it. I have no problem with anybody living in anybody else's neighborhood. I have no problem with black people living in white neighborhoods, Asian people living in Spanish neighborhoods, Spanish people living in black neighborhoods. As far as I'm concerned, if you can afford it, if you can pay the rent, pay the mortgage, pay the bills, then you can live anywhere you want to live in this country. I am absolutely 100% for a non-segregated country. I think segregation is terrible and it's horrible and it's hurtful and it's wrong. I can remember back in the 1960s and 70s with the forced busing. And what a horrible idea that is. Why can't people just go to school where they want to go to school? Why do you have to have these travesties like forced busing, where you're going to tell people of one color that they have to go to a school in a certain place that they decide, that has nothing to do where the students themselves would like to go to school? So you're not going to get any sympathy from me on any of those topics, because I have always been against segregation. I think it's wrong. I think it's demonic. I think it's bad. But that being said, Patrice Cullors, she purchased her $1.4 million house in the wealthy Los Angeles enclave of Topanga Canyon. In Topanga Canyon, only 1.4% of the residents there are black. Everybody else is white. So you have 98.6% of the people where this anti-white, black nationalist, trained Marxist woman named Patrice Cullors, this is where she chooses to live. Now, again, she can live wherever she wants to live. I have no problem at all that she decided to live in an enclave that was 98.6% white and she's black. That doesn't bother me one single bit. But what does bother me is the fact that she is constantly talking about how bad and how evil white people are, and how there is systemic racism in America, and everywhere you turn, the white devils have created a slavery society. Why would that person choose to live in a neighborhood that's 98.6% white? I'll tell you why. That person chose to live in a neighborhood that's 98.6% white because she's a faker and she's a phony. That's why she's a multimillionaire. That's why she purchased four houses in the last year, while she wants you to believe that she's a trained Marxist. How many Marxist millionaires have you ever met? There's not a whole lot of them. And do you know why? Because Marxism is the opposite of capitalism. And it's supposed to be everybody putting all their goods in together. And everyone's supposed to be living at the same level. But that's not what you find when you deal with these people. What you find is that they are using things like Marxism and Black Lives Matter to bring in an agenda of control, to put themselves into power. That's why they do what they do. Because they are looking to take over. They are looking to take control. Listen to Patrice Cullors talking about that she is a trained Marxist. This is not something that I'm slandering her with. This is what she says about herself. Take a listen.
He was concerned or is concerned that that there's a lack of perhaps ideological direction in Black Lives Matter that would allow it to be to fizzle out, in, as he said, in comparison to Occupy Wall Street. As you are advanced in your own organization, as you all are headed to Cleveland to participate in this Black Lives Movement conference, how do you respond to that particular critique? Again, a loving critique from an elder of the struggle that some others share, that I've even shared as well, to be frank, as a concern about, in part because of the co-optation and the appropriation, that a more clear ideological structuring might be of some value here. But how do you respond to those kinds of, again, loving criticisms?
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might, I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
So there you have Patrice Cullors telling you that her and her friends who started Black Lives Matter are trained Marxists. Now, have you ever asked yourself what the stated goal of Marxism is? Have you ever wondered what, I mean, you hear that term a lot. What is the end goal of Marxist? In Marxist thought, a communist society or the communist system is the type of society and economic system postulated to emerge from technological advances in the productive forces, representing the ultimate goal of the political ideology of communism. A communist society is characterized by common ownership of the means of production with free access to the articles of consumption and is classless and stateless, implying the end of the exploitation of labor. Now, that is what the purpose of Marxist communism is. Now, ask yourself this question. Where does a multimillionaire who has so much money that she is able to buy four houses? Now, the cheapest of her four houses was $500,000. The most expensive of her four houses was a $1.4 million home. Now, what type of Marxist, and I just read to you the stated manifesto of Marxism, what type of Marxist has that amount of money? Well, have you ever heard of somebody by the name of Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders, he ran twice for president of the United States, and twice his own party stole the nomination from him. The first time they stole it and gave it to Hillary. The second time they stole it, they gave it to Joe Biden. Bernie Sanders, he wants to bring socialism to America. Now, you think to yourself, well, socialists, I understand what socialism is. Do you really? Do you know that Bernie Sanders is a multimillionaire? Do you know that Bernie Sanders has not one, two, but three beautiful homes? The third home is a beautiful lakefront vacation home. I think it's in Vermont or New Hampshire. Bernie Sanders wants everybody to be equal. Bernie Sanders wants everybody to go to college completely for free. Bernie Sanders wants everybody to redistribute the wealth. But he's not redistributing one single penny of the multi-million dollars that he has. He is not using his homes, his three houses, as Airbnbs for the less fortunate. No, Bernie Sanders is living the life of a capitalist. He writes books and makes money from the books. He gives speaking appearances. He makes money from the speaking appearances. Bernie Sanders is benefiting from hardcore capitalism. That's why Bernie Sanders, the socialist, is a multimillionaire. Because he is not practicing the principles of socialism. He is practicing the doctrine of capitalism. But what you find is when these people go up the ladder, when they get to the position of power and money and wealth and influence, the last thing that they want to do is to allow you to become what they've become. Bernie Sanders wants socialism for you, but he wants capitalism for himself. Patrice Cullors wants a Marxist revolution for you, while she lives in a nearly all-white neighborhood in an ultra-exclusive area in Los Angeles, living in a $1.4 million mansion. None of those things were given to her from Marxism. Those things were given to her from capitalism. And this is the part of the problem that we have in this society, is everybody is so confused because everybody is so incredibly ignorant of what the truth is. And that's why if you want truth, you need to get yourself a King James Bible, because the King James Bible will give you the truth 10 out of 10 times. Now, in your King James Bible, it talks about something called the days of Noah. Matthew 24:37, Jesus says this, "But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Jesus says that the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. Well, we know when we read the King James Bible, when we go back to Genesis chapter 6 and we read about something called the Genesis 6 giants, and these fallen angels came down, and the fallen angels came down and had sexual relations with human women. Genesis chapter 6 verse 1. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, Jesus said that the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation would be like the days of Noah. The days of Noah centered around a flood to get rid of the offspring of the Genesis 6 giants. Take a listen to Tucker. This is just the other day. Take a listen to Tucker talking about UFOs. Take a listen to Tucker talking about UFOs confirmed by the Pentagon. And then I'm going to give you a comment.
Just a few days ago, the Pentagon confirmed that a 2019 video of a UFO sighting is actually real. It was a UFO. The video shows a pyramid-shaped object flying over a U.S. Navy destroyer. This is the very first time the public has seen video from this incident. The UFO footage was leaked to a filmmaker called Jeremy Corbell, who joins us tonight to explain all of this. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on. Tell us where this was shot. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so I obtained and released videos and photographic evidence of UFOs swarming our warships. So the green video is night vision. That's from the USS Russell. It wasn't just one pyramid-shaped craft. It was multiple. These were swarms. I also released with my mentor in journalism, George Knapp, also released from the USS Omaha, which looks like thermal imagery. He released three photos the day prior to mine. So we're trying to get this out to continue elevating the conversation because it's very important we have it right now.
Yeah, you think? I mean, those are not weather balloons. Those are clearly autonomous aircraft of some kind that are, as you put it, swarming U.S. military craft. So there are two options.
Under intelligent control. These are
nicely
craft
put.
Under intelligent control, and they're flying with impunity, Tucker, within our airspace, and they can outmaneuver, outperform anything that we seem to have. Their mode of transportation seems magical to us. It's unbelievable, and now finally we're having a rational, sober discussion about this because we don't know what these are. We don't know the nature of the technology. We need to find out who's operating them and also what the intent is. So it's a really exciting time to be learning about UFOs because now we're having a complete tipping point with the transparency, and hopefully we'll be getting more answers soon.
This must have scared the crap out of the U.S. military. I mean, their job is to defend the country and themselves, and here these aircraft violate their airspace. Quickly, do you believe that they sincerely don't know what these things
We have the best. We have the best military on planet Earth, the greatest intelligence.
So there you have Tucker talking with a man who put those videos together of the unexplained flying objects that were over that Navy destroyer. And in just a couple of weeks, the Pentagon is going to release their report on what they know about UFOs and space aliens and all those different things. Last night, shortly before starting the Sunday night Bible study, I received a phone call from a friend of mine in the military, and he told me some unbelievably exciting things, and we're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. I'm putting that program together now. He told me yesterday that the military has cataloged over 7,000 contacts with what they call space aliens. And the military has been in contact with the space aliens for quite some time. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but that's exactly what retired retired Israeli General Chaim Eshed said last year. He said that both the United States and Israel have been in contact with the space aliens for a couple of years. And when I say in contact, they're speaking with them. They are talking with them. Now, that's what this Israeli general, highly decorated, very well-respected, sober-minding thinking person, and he said back on December 7th of 2020, he said that he knew for a fact that the nation of Israel and the United States have been in active contact with the space aliens for at least the last 2 years. And I have been telling you for about 6 months now that you've got to get yourself mentally ready so that when you see with your own eyes what they call space aliens on television, and that is right around the corner, and I believe that we're going to see that before we are removed in the rapture. We are going to see that before the rapture takes place. Why? Because the dispensations are overlapping each other. And I have taught that for the last 10 years. I have told you about overlapping dispensations. And maybe on Wednesday night, we'll do a whole Bible study on dispensations and how they overlap. But so you've got to mentally prepare yourself. You've got to mentally prepare yourself for when you turn the television on and mark my words, you are going to see the Genesis 6 giants have returned. They are here right now. And my contact in the military, he called me last night and he was very, very excited. And he was excited because of the stories that he has heard from insiders in the United States military that these things are real and they're true. And, you know, when you hear about it for the first time, it freaks you out a little bit. Doesn't freak me out because I fully expect it. And I am mentally waiting for it, and I am prepared for it. And I want you to be mentally prepared for it as well. When you see them, you will not be in the tribulation. When you hear them on television, you will not be in the time of Jacob's trouble. You will be in the closing moments of the church age. And all these things are exactly what you would expect to see taking place if we were really as close to the rapture as we think we are. And we are. So in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be bringing you a blockbuster program based on insider information from the U.S. military on just how many contacts our government has with what they call space aliens. You and I, we know what they are, and we know who they are, and we know why they're here. Now, in closing, when I was talking before about how the Democrats are using racism as a weapon, as a tool, an NTEB listener from New Jersey sent me this this graphic that she just took a picture of with her cell phone. St. Mary's School in Pompton Lakes. Let's talk about racism. A six-week program to recognize white privilege, confront racism, and become a better ally. That is being sponsored by St. Mary's Church in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Now, that's exactly what Todd from Wretched Radio was telling you, that you are going to see the churches promoting critical race theory. And critical race theory, you can boil it down into one simple sentence. Critical race theory says white people are bad, white people are the problem, period. That's what critical race theory teaches. And that whole clip, that whole six-minute clip that I played for you, where he is warning that this junk, this garbage, is soon going to be coming to your church. And how ironic is it that a listener who hears this program sends me this image. Let's talk about racism, a six-week program to recognize white privilege, confront racism, and become a better ally. Well, we know, it doesn't surprise me that that's the Catholic Church, because we know exactly, what the Catholic Church is all about. And all you have to do is read Revelation 17 and 18, and that will tell you everything that you need to know about the Catholic Church. Pope Francis is very hard at work creating his one world religion of Chrislam. And he has been unbelievably successful, and he is making more ground than than anyone could have ever imagined that we would be seeing, but here it is. If you have ever read Chick Tracks, Chick Gospel Tracks, for the last 40 years, Chick Tracks has warned you, absolutely warned you, that the Roman Catholic Church was going to usher in the one world religion. And for 40 plus years, Chick Publishing Company in California has produced materials telling you that the Roman Catholic Church is going to bring in the one world religion. And that's exactly what we see happening in our day in 2021. We see Pope Francis. He is using Chrislam to create the one world religion. And now you have Catholic churches promoting critical race theory. If you have a King James Bible, none of this. From the UFOs to the space aliens to the one world religion to the implantable microchip to the daily pass passports, all of these things are foretold within the pages of the King James Bible. Go read Revelation 13. Go read Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, and you will see in a book that was written 2,000 years ago, talking to you about implantable biometric devices. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. If you have an NIV Bible, you're going to miss it. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That is from the time-honored King James Bible. If you have an NIV Bible, your Bible doesn't say that. An NIV Bible says, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads. And not only that, the NIV version says it causes all. The King James says he causes all. So what's the NIV doing? They're covering up for the Antichrist. Your King James Bible tells you that the mark of the beast is the number of a man, and that man causes people to take the mark in their body. What is that but an implantable biometric device foretold in a book that was written 2,000 years ago? And the only accurate version is in the dusty, old, archaic King James English. And yet that's where the truth is. The NIV Bible tells you lies. The ESV Bible tells you lies. If you would like a King James Bible, but you can't afford one, just send me an email to info@nowthenbegins.com and give me your full mailing address, and we'll send you a King James Bible completely for free. info@nowthenbegins.com, and we'll send you, if you can't afford one, we will be happy to send you a King James Bible completely free of charge. We even pay for the shipping. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast. If your church is teaching critical race theory, I want you to stand up and rebuke them. If your pastor is teaching critical race theory, I want you to stand up in your pews and I want you to call them out. And I want you to use the King James Bible while you do it. You've got to be vocal. We are on the front lines of the end times and the bullets are flying. Paul says that we may please him who has called us and chosen us to be a soldier. Soldiers Fight. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of the Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me, ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York. As people were fleeing from a crumbling building, there were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, "Run for your life!" at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, "God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in a falling tower." We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, "Run for your life." Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God. Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run!